please.
All right, let's take our Bible, please, and go to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 2. In your Bibles, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 2. And I think we're approaching year 7 of this Bible series, walking through the Old Testament. How many of you have been here since the beginning, since we started this? All right. I know Watson's have. Autumn has. All right. And so we are in a series. We're just walking through the Old Testament. We've been here for 7 years. I figured by the time we get to the New Testament, walk through it, by the time I'm done, I'll be 78 years old. Amen. I kind of sat and figured that out. So then, I'm preaching very long for Brother Bingham's sake this morning. Anyhow, I'll tell you what, I love to teach the Bible. I love it. It's the most wonderful book in all the world. And, you know, you can read a lot of books, but this book changes lives. This book makes a difference. And, you know, we don't need to just preach it. We need to teach it and preach it. It needs to be taught. But preaching is the most important part of it. Amen? And so we're going to learn some things in the Bible today. All right, Proverbs 2. Let's begin with verse number 10. We've looked at the first two chapters, and we're halfway through chapter 2, so let's begin verse number 10. Follow along this morning as I read. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their path, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Well, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truths in it. Lord, this morning I pray you give us a heart, Lord, to desire, to hunger for thy word. Lord, to, as your word says, to seek her as silver, to seek it, Lord, like a treasure. And Lord, I pray this morning you would, Lord, just teach us wisdom in our life. And Lord, give us a greater heart. Give us a heart to want wisdom incorporated into our life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll just review a little bit about what wisdom was teaching us in chapters 1 and the first part of chapter 2 by way of review this morning. So we talked about wisdom. Wisdom is a practical wisdom for everyday life. You know, wisdom is meant to be used in everyday life. You get in your car and go to work. You need wisdom. When you're at work, you need wisdom, right? When you're at home, guiding your family and making decisions in your life, everybody wants to make the right decisions, good decisions. Well, how do you make those decisions? You have to have wisdom. You have to have wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, you'll make wrong decisions. You'll make wrong decisions. And the sad part about it is, and this is what this lesson aims at, is what lack of wisdom does for a person down the road. And can I tell you, wisdom today is what we call, or what I'm going to call, the life preserver for you down the road. And so we're going to look at this aspect of how wisdom affects our life 2 years down the road, 3 years, 5, 10, until the day you die. Wisdom is going to have an effect, and that's why it's so important. So wisdom. Now, number one, we taught that wisdom doesn't come naturally. We don't wake up wise one day. That doesn't happen. We have to learn wisdom. Well, where are we going to learn wisdom from? You're going to learn wisdom from the world? No. You're going to learn wisdom from Joe Biden? I said that as a humorous illustration. Are you going to find wisdom? Have you found wisdom in this world, really?
No.
It's not there, is it? But there is a source of wisdom that God, in His grace, has given to us. And that source of wisdom is His Word. You know, I find a lot of people reject the Bible today. But look at their life. You see this pathway of no wisdom, little understanding. And their life just is this avalanche of mess and trouble. And you know, God wants to keep us from it. You know, God's on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so God's on the Christian side. He does not want our life this avalanche of jumbled mess. So He gave us His Word. And if we have enough wisdom and enough heart to want to know what it says and to take it into our heart, man, I'm telling you what, God can take our life and make it blessed all the way down our life. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it's following this principle of sowing, reaping what you sow. If you sow what's right, can I tell you what? You're going to have good fruit in your life. If you sow the wrong things in your life, guess what happens to our life? Those wrong things come out. God's trying to teach us, I can help us avoid those troubled things in life. And that's why we have a Bible. That's why God gave us His Word. He gave us His Word because in it are the words of life. And they are life preservers for our life. Let's go back here. Wisdom has a beginning. What is the beginning of wisdom? It is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear is a very good thing. Fear is good. If you're standing on the edge of a cliff and your toes are dangling over a 1,000-foot cliff and you have no fear, you're in trouble, right? Fear says, back off of that cliff. Fear says, no, don't get that close. And what does the fear do? The fear keeps you from potentially destroying your life. So God says the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, to fear His Word. Fear not him who is able to destroy the body. Fear him who is able to destroy the body and soul. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This world wants us to fear them. But I want you to know, if we fear them, their wisdom is not sufficient for us to want and need to fear them. Who we ought to fear is God. Fear is a good thing. Fear is our friend. You remember Vince and Larry, the crash dummies? How many of you remember Vince and Larry? See the commercials with Vince and Larry? They get in a car, and they're looking at each other, and they're laughing, and they're driving down the road, and they're running into a brick wall at 90 miles an hour. The commercial shows their heads popping off and this falling apart. And the caption says, don't be a dummy. Right? Don't be a dummy. I like that. That's good. Some of you will catch that later on. But, and you know, it's so true in our lives. We need to fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the first step. When we read his word, there ought to be this stirring in our heart that says, this is God's word. This is God's word, and I am going to be held accountable someday for God's word. Did you know that? You know what we're going to be judged at one day according to the book of Matthew? We're going to be judged according to the words of this book. The words of this book is going to be what God's going to pull out and judge us by. And so God's teaching us wisdom. Have a fear of the Lord. Have a fear of the Lord. It's a healthy fear, but it is also the beginning of wisdom. All right, then number three, wisdom has a purpose. Wisdom has a purpose. See, God wants to give you wisdom so you know how to serve him in life. The purpose that God gave you life for is to serve him. God didn't give us life so we can stock up money in a bank account and live for ourselves and please ourselves all our life. God made us so we can return glory to God with our life. Other than that, there's no purpose for life. And wisdom recognizes God made me for a reason. I'm not an oops. I'm not a mistake. God made me for a reason. God has a purpose for your life. Don't minimize the fact that God has a reason for you to be on this earth at this time. Amen. We are to glorify God with our life and honor him and return the glory that he deserves. And we don't just do that with our tongue. We don't just do that. We do that with our whole life. Every avenue of life we find ourselves, we need to praise and honor the Lord. So this is wisdom. Wisdom realizes I have a purpose in life. And that purpose is to serve God. So if you are out in a ship enjoying the cruise, you leaned over the edge to watch the waves, and you slip and fall, what would become the most important thing at that moment? Would it be the dinner that you were going to have that night? Would it be the new clothes that we were wanted to buy on Amazon? No. The most important thing is going to be that you had a life preserver. And see, people say that they want to avoid judgment. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe in judgment. Whether you believe it or not, it's still going to happen. You know, that's like the criminal saying, I don't believe in jail. And the judge sentences him to jail. He'll believe it as soon as he gets in jail, right? You know, judgment is the same way. And the Bible reminds us, Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. Now that eliminates karma. That eliminates reincarnation. You say, I'm going to come back as a petunia. No, you won't. It's appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. So wisdom says, I'm going to keep judgment in mind in my life as I serve God on a daily basis. And so we need this, we need a life preserver. Okay, so let's look at the outline today of the lesson. And the lesson will begin here, number one, when wisdom enters the heart. All right, now look at verse number 10. When wisdom enters into thine heart. Now, this is where wisdom needs to come. Wisdom needs to come into your heart. Amen? Into your heart. So when we allow wisdom into our heart and knowledge, what happens? What happens in our life? Well, first of all, knowledge is pleasant to the soul. You know, there's a lot of people who don't want to know anything. There's a lot of people who don't want to know anything about God. You ever began a spiritual conversation with somebody that's lost and they don't have time for it? You know, we can sit back, we can watch a 3-hour football game and go overtime. And we can watch a 3-hour football game, but listen to a 20-minute sermon. You know, that's that old flesh that it has a rebellious side to it. It just wants to do its own thing. But you know what? Wisdom will help us overcome that by realizing it is a life preserver for us. It's a life preserver. My grandma, how many of you had a grandma that made preserves? Grandma would make preserves. She'd put the raspberry jam in the little mason jar. And then on the top, she would put the wax. And it had like a half inch of wax. And I said, Grandma, why are you doing that? She said, it will preserve what's in the jar. And man, you'd go down. She had a cellar, a root cellar in her house. We call those tornado shelters in Oklahoma. She had a root cellar, and in there was jars that had dust and dirt on them for years. And you grab one of those jars, open it up, guess what? It's the best tasting stuff you'd ever had in your life. You know why? Because it was preserved. And you know, that's a picture of a Christian. God takes us one day. He wants to save us. But if we'll use wisdom in our life will be preserved and protected from the evil one. And, you know, as a Christian, you know, the devil cannot get your soul. He cannot get your soul. But the devil can get your life and stamp out our usefulness for God. So when we say wisdom, Lord, give me wisdom, we're saying, Lord, I want to know you better. I don't know about you, but I've been preaching this Bible for over 30 years. I still want to know God better. I still hunger to know who God is and what he loves and what he desires for me in life. I still want that. And so we need that. And this is talking about wisdom in the heart of a person. And notice the second thing it says here, discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion is making choices that will preserve your future. Making choices that will preserve your future. How many of you had to make choices? I think we make choices every week for our future. You know, our jobs or our cars. You know, when you buy a car, you need wisdom, don't you? You know, Matthew, my son, bought a car this week. And I told him, son, don't buy a Ford, whatever you do. But he bought a car, and, you know, we checked that thing over. He wants a car that will last him for a while. You know, I don't think they exist anymore. Yeah. But, you know, he wants something that's going to last. And, you know, the Christian life should be like that for us. When wisdom enters our heart, we can make choices that will preserve what we do. Now, that doesn't mean your car is not going to blow up or you're not going to get a flat tire. It doesn't mean that. But it means that God, when your life is in God's pathway, there's a protection, a certain protection that God gives us. All right? Now, let's look at somebody who did not be concerned about his future blessings. How about Esau in the Bible? Remember, Esau came home hungry one day, and his brother Jacob had a pot of soup there, and he was so hungry, and he said to his brother, he said, Jacob, give me a bowl of pottage. I'm hungry. He said, then give me your birthright. Now, birthright was passed down the blessings of the Father and the inheritance of the Father was passed down to the next generation, starting with the oldest. Esau was the oldest. And so it was supposed to go to Esau, but Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. Now think of that. A bowl of soup. And you say, why would he do that? Well, he wasn't concerned about that future at that moment. He gave it up. You know, a lot of people do the same thing in life. They throw away their future blessings for an immediate, a temporal satisfaction that doesn't last, that doesn't do. You know, a lot of things in life can be destroyed. Homes and marriages can be destroyed for a temporary moment of satisfaction, and that whole future can be ruined. And you know, God doesn't want that for us. But we have to incorporate wisdom. We have to allow wisdom to get right here in our heart so that these things cannot happen. Esau. And you know what's funny about Esau? Esau became Edom, the Edomites in the Bible. And they ended up turning against God, becoming the enemies of God. And God ended up wiping them all out. That was their future. How sad when had a decision of wisdom been made in the beginning that that could never have happened. And so we see this. We see examples in the Bible of people. Don't give up your future blessings for temporary satisfaction. Don't. In whatever avenue of life it is. There's lots of blessings down that road. And this is what God desires for us. All right, let's move on now. We'll look at point number two. The passage declares some other things here. Notice number two, wisdom is a life preserver from evil men. Verse 12. Notice it says to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now, there's evil in this world, and there are people that are evil. And here's the problem with it, is that oftentimes evil people can be smooth, they can have influence, they can appear to have all the answers, but in the end result of their future is destruction, according to the last verse of this passage. And their way is not going to be good. Their way is going to end up in destruction. So if a Christian follows an evil person or somebody doing something wrong, and by the way, when we think of evil, you know, we think of Hitler and Mussolini and, you know, we have these conjured ideas. But evil is somebody is simply who is going against God, who is hating God. That's the definition of evil. I mean, yeah, I think Hitler was evil. Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you, evil can encompass a whole lot more than just that type of evil. And so we have to be wise because evil men have a way of influencing us. You know, you ever watch the beer commercials? You know, come up to high country. Oh, you're a real man if you drink this beer. They have a hard liquor commercial on TV that this guy, he gets the bottle of hard liquor and he's a preacher. He calls him a preacher. It does. And he helps people do things and he brings this hard liquor home to mom and it's like, here, mom, I just want to be good to you. Isn't that deceptive? And isn't that what evil tries to do? They try to masquerade evil with deception. Well, where did that come from? It came from Satan. Because he was the first deceiver in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Eve and told her that when if you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. That was a deception. What Scripture is teaching us is that when you have wisdom in your heart, you're going to be able to detect some of these evil things. And you'll know evil. You'll know evil if you know the Word. You say, how do you know what's right and wrong in the world? By knowing, looking through everything through the window of God's Word. That's how you know. That's how you know. Evil influences. And verse 12 says, notice the way that the evil man talks. In verse 12, from the man that speaketh froward things. Now, the Bible's saying, hey, if somebody's speaking froward or cursing, you know, if somebody's just got a nasty mouth, I'll promise you they got a nasty heart. Yeah. There's some evil going on there. There's some wrong going on there. And the Christian has to be wise when we see these influences come, because these influences turn us away from wisdom, and they don't lead us in the right path. So notice the way he speaks. Then next, he leaves the right path and he walks in paths of darkness. You know, a lot of people live in darkness today. You know, when somebody does not have Christ, they don't have the light of life. Christ said, I am the light of the world. Right. If somebody's in darkness, there's going to be depression, defeat, discouragement, and it leads people today to contemplate suicide. Darkness. And the root of it is sin and the lack of following wisdom in our life. You know, wisdom is compared to, and we'll see later scriptures, wisdom is compared to this bright and shining light. That when we walk closer to that light, man, our pathway becomes clearer. And life is just blessed. When we follow these principles, we have to follow them. And God uses them. So God's teaching us wisdom from the evil man. Now, secondly, verse 16, he says here, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Now, it's talking about here an evil woman. Hey, there's evil women in the world. There's evil women in the world. And where this is actually, the connotation of this is purity. It's talking about sexual purity, all right? And we'll see that embedded in here. But notice what she does. The first characteristic of her in the scriptures, she flatters with her words. She flatters with her words. Boy, this is going to sound strange. This is going to sound strange to you, but take this in an understanding, okay? It's better if a lady talks straightforward than that she talks flattering. Yeah. Did you get that? Oh, no, I'm in trouble now. It's better a lady just talks straightforward than that she talks flattery. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think every compliment a lady gives you is that she's an evil woman. That's not what Scripture's teaching, okay? But it's teaching that there is a motive behind in the heart of the evil woman. There's a motive there. And that motive is not a good motive. And she flatters with her tongue. She uses her words and flattereth. So, you know, be careful when somebody flatters you all the time. You know, somebody told me once, you're the best preach I ever heard. And you know what I said? I doubt it. I doubt it very much. You got to know who you are, right? And you got to always keep yourself grounded. I appreciated her kindness, but I know I'm not the best preacher in the world. But here's my point. My point is that there's an agenda behind the scenes of both of any evil person. And it's the devil promotes that agenda. So how do we battle it? How do we know what is right and wrong? We have God's word that keeps us on the right path and helps us to be able to recognize where that agenda can lead us. Because our futures are at stake, right? Our futures are at stake. All right, so it talks about some things about this evil woman. And what does she do? She forsakes what she's been taught, according to verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. And this is talking about a purity. She decided to make a covenant with God that she would be pure, stay pure in her life. But she forsook that somewhere along the line. And can I tell you what? God's people need wisdom in these things in her life. All right, now notice, let's go on. Let's go to verse number 20. Now, what is the way that God wants us to walk? What does God give us? Well, point number 4 is the life preserver of good men. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of what? Good men. Now, are men perfect? There's no man that's ever perfect that's ever lived on this earth. But there's a difference, huge difference, between a good man and an evil man. A good man is going to still have imperfections, but he is headed on the right paths. He will do the right things, and he is following God's word as best as he knows how. A good man. God teaches us to stay around good men, to stick around good men. Stick around people. And by the way, it's not limiting ladies. But, you know, the point of this is that men are the leaders, or should be the leaders. Men should be the leaders of our homes, our churches. Men should be the leaders. That does not demean women. What it's meaning is that there is a... men have to take up this role to be leaders and examples for our homes, our families, our churches, our world. It's a mantle that we take up. It's something that we say, I can put on my big boy boots and be the man that God wants me to be. And you know, God takes us and transforms us to becoming these kind of men through his word as we follow them. As we follow and obey his word, we become these examples to other people. Not of perfection, but of godliness and wholesomeness and following the right path and knowing how to make choices in life that will be blessed and beneficial down the road. And this is the point of good men. And can I say, the best men you'll ever find are godly preachers. Godly preachers. And that's why I love having preachers come to our church. And that's why I love to have missionaries come to our church. Because they're good men, godly people that love the Lord. And they are examples for us to walk and live by. And we so need that in our lives. Because here's what they do. Look at what Scripture says. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, verse 20. Keep the paths of righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land. Now, what it's saying is that the upright, they're going to be blessed. God's going to protect them. They've got the life preserver of wisdom on. God's going to protect them. Their life is going to shine for the glory of God. And God is going to see to it that they're rewarded and blessed for following his word. Now, can you imagine a God who would not bless us if we follow his word? That's not the God of the Bible. We are told again and again in Scripture that when we obey God's word, that is the source of our blessings in life. As we follow God's word, if we neglect it, then we also neglect our own blessings. So these blessings come to the person who's around good men. You know what? I want to be around good men because I want them to rub off on me. Amen. And I want to be a good man because I want to rub off on other people in good ways. Amen. And we ought to desire that. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean, but it means that even if we do make a mistake or mess up, we make it right. And we get up off our feet and get on the right path again. Amen. That's honorable to God. That's an honorable thing. So notice they have blessings to look forward to. They have blessings to look forward to. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful. God's given us 13 grandchildren. And I like them so much, I wish we'd have had them first. You know, 13 grandkids, got two on the way. What a blessing. I want to be able to show them a blessed life. I want to live my life all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Like Paul said, I finished my course. I finished my course. I want to go all the way to the end and give them an example to follow. And you know, I believe good men are the key to helping us in life grow in the Lord and become strong in the Lord. Amen. Now I also have some godly ladies examples in my life. My mother, man, she was a godly lady. I thank God for my mother. I've known other ladies, just godly, faithful ladies. Thank God for you. They are the ones that are holding up this world. And thank God for you. But there are blessings to look forward to. So this life preserver of wisdom is a life preserver that will protect us and keep us on God's path. You know, there's a lot of principles in God's word that if we will incorporate them in our life, they will be wise. If you look in chapter 3, we'll get to this next week, but chapter 3 in verse 9 is talking about tithing, honoring the Lord with the first fruit of all thine increase. And then verse 10 tells us why. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so God's teaching us wisdom in the principle of tithing. You know, tithing, there's a lot of wisdom involved in it. A lot of wisdom. Why? We tithe. This life preserver blesses the Christian who tithes. Amen. You say, oh, the preacher's always asking for money. Hey, God, I'm going to tell you something. God can do his work without money. But I'll tell you what. The tithe does more for us. It does more for us than anything in the world. And it brings blessing. You can't outgive God. Impossible. But when you see your tithing produces in your life and what God, these blessings that come into life. I've had three cars given to me in my life. Well, one of them was a Ford, so that was the test of God. That was a trial. But I've had some cars. I had a man walk in my office one day, and he said, "Preacher, you need a car?" And I didn't tell anybody. I said, "We've been praying for one." He said, "You got a dollar?" I said, "Yeah. Give me a dollar." That's how he said it. He said, "I'm not going to give it to you, but I'll sell it to you for a dollar." I slapped a dollar in his hand. He gave me the title. And you know, I got to thinking, I wonder if God did that as a blessing of honoring him. And I think God does that for his people. We ought to always keep that in mind. Keep that in mind of how God blesses his people when we follow the righteous. All right, we're going to stop here today. We'll pick up on chapter 3 next week. Amen. And I encourage you to go ahead and read it this week, all right? Read it this week. Study it. Pull some things out. Amen. Get your Strong's Concordance. Pull some of these words out on your own and see what they mean. See what they're talking about. And we'll begin. We'll teach chapter 3 next week. Father, we love you.